things happen in your life. And the young people need to understand, as you're growing up, the habits that you start partaking of, if you're not careful, they'll become an influence in your life and cause you to be defined as someone who is just going to church and not be dedicated to serving the Lord. Brother Branham makes a comment. He was talking about the Pentecostals, and he said, you know, if the Pentecostals could, in defining, he said, our own ranks of Pentecost, he said that sometimes our atmosphere becomes an emotion. Pentecost sometimes becomes an emotion. It's just shouting, praising, hallelujah, and all these things. And it just becomes an emotion and not worship. Because many people can get into an emotion. That emotion is just something that makes you feel good. But the defining moment is when you can walk out of that emotion and know that God is still with you without the emotion. The Holy Ghost is defining the children of God in this day. It's not all about the emotion. I enjoy the emotion. It's a wonderful experience, a wonderful feeling, but that's what we can't base our salvation on, an emotion. Brother Branham said it, he said, it becomes an emotion instead of a worship. And that soon dies out. Emotions will soon die out. As soon as you get out of the service and you've had a great time, or you had a wonderful trip to the youth camp, or you've been in a revival somewhere and you get away from that, and then immediately after you get out of that, the devil comes and starts fighting with you, and that emotion is all gone, and where are you? Is your emotion all that's carrying you? Because if it is, it'll only hold good until the next few days, and then you're looking for another revival. Children of God are revived every day if they read the Word of God. Children of God can live holy in Christ Jesus no matter what's happening around them. He said, it comes along, he said, and the members become one thing and another. He said, but if we could ever get a group of people together where was genuine Holy Spirit atmosphere, it takes a genuine spirit atmosphere so that God can define who's really Christians. And we know that when we take you to the youth camps and things, and we get you away from the world and sometimes away from your cell phone technology. And I had a paper I was going to bring, and I forgot to bring it. I left it on my desk at home. But it said there's two things that affect young people. You want to guess what they are? Two things. Go ahead and guess the first one. You know what it's going to be. Your phones. Technology, right? Technology, it says, is one of the greatest problems that young people are having in their life. It's an emotional roller coaster. You get on Snapchat, you get on Facebook, you get on emails, you get on whatever you want to get on your phones, and it's an emotional roller coaster. And sometimes, you know, I know in texting that you don't always have to spell every word just right, you don't have to punctuate just right. And the problem is that you misinterpret somebody's writing. Ever happen? Oh, yeah. And you think, well, you know, we're just texting. But let me tell you something. It means something. The punctuations mean something. There's emphasis on it. And if you're not careful, this phone can define you as somebody who doesn't really care what everybody thinks. You get with your Facebook and you're behind the keyboard and you're doing all these different things. And I'm not trying to be hard on you, but I'm just trying to make you aware that what the devil's doing is he's slipped in a technology, and the world has recognized that technology has become one of the greatest problems that young people have. You know what the second problem is? You don't sleep enough. That's the second problem. And I imagine the first one is causing the second one. How unique that is. If you're not careful, that phone will keep you busy all evening long, all night long. You know, and the devil, he knows he's got you then. So then, if they can get you tired, worn down, then it starts causing depression to come more easily. oppression becomes more easily. Agitation becomes more easily. Anxiety becomes more easily. Because you've not gotten enough rest. Your body heals. Your mind heals when you sleep. When you get a cold, the doctor told me, he says, when you get a cold, if the best thing you can do is just stop and rest. But what do most of us do? Pop an aspirin, a pill or something, and you keep pushing, pushing, pushing. And then sometimes it runs into bronchitis, into pneumonia. Because why? We wouldn't rest. Let me tell you, there's a greater rest than all that even. Amen. That's to have the rest of the Holy Ghost. I want you young people to understand that these things can define your lifestyle. They can define your habits and things that are going on with you. Here is Samuel. He's speaking to the king now of Saul, King Saul. And Saul's the first king to the people of Israel. And God allowed them to choose a king and for Samuel to anoint him. Now here comes Samuel, and he speaks to Saul, and he tells him, it's thus saith the Lord to do exactly what I'm telling you. But Samuel does not do it exactly like the Lord. And then he comes and says, we have done all that you told us to do. He lied straight to the prophet. You don't want to do that. You don't want to lie to the prophet. You don't want to lie on the prophet. You don't want to lie to nobody. Remember, little lies, big lies, they're all lies. There's no such thing as a little white lie or a big black lie. There's no such thing. It's all a lie. You say, well, if I tell this, no. Don't tell little lies. Little lies get you in big trouble. How come you guys not say amen? Am I pinching you already? Am I causing you to like squirm in your seat just a little? You say, but man, this is you, Service Brother Mike. We want to, you know, we'll wait for Brother Andrew Glover to show up or something. Brother Danny. Stephen, maybe. But you see, and here's this man. He's told a lie straight to the prophet of God. And the prophet of God goes, well, then what is the bleating of the sheep? What's this other sound I'm hearing? And then he continues on and he's saying, you know, in verse 15, and Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites for they spared the best. God didn't say spare the best sheep. God didn't save the best lie. Don't save the best habit. If God's going to clear you from sin, he wants you to clear you from all the sin. All the things that the devil's throwing in your way. There's nothing wrong with technology if it's used in the correct way. We all have it. We all use it. But it needs to be used by the Holy Ghost, right? And so here's the Lord. And he's speaking. He says, verse 16, then Samuel said unto Saul, stay and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me tonight, this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, verse 17, when thou wast little. How many knows how tall Saul was? He was head and shoulders taller than all the other men. And the man says, you remember when you were little in your own sight? And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thy own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? In other words, when you were a little bit more humble, when you're a little bit more fearful, when you're a little bit more loving to the Lord, and you were just, you know, could be led, God called you and he chose you to be the king because you were little and you were able to humble yourselves. Listen, friends, if you want God to move in your life, it's not about what you can process and show to people. It's how much you can love the Lord and let God show who you are. Amen. You don't have to tell anybody you're a Christian. You just live right and they'll figure it out that you're a different kind of person. Amen. Yesterday I went into a bank and was talking to a man and went into his office and he said he found out I was the pastor of the church And he said, can I ask you, you got time? I said, yeah. He said, can I ask you a few questions? I said, well, sure. And he starts talking up and he says, well, first off, what kind of church is it? I said, we're a non-denomination, independent, Bible-believing church. He goes, independent? I said, yes, sir. He goes, isn't that a bad idea? I said, well, I don't think so. Why? And he looked at me and he said, well, you know, you got to have somebody keeping you guys in line, telling you what to do and where to go. I said, you don't think the Holy Ghost can do that? I said, well, let me, he said, like Peter, he said, wasn't it Peter that asked Jesus? He said, wasn't the church built on Peter? I said, no. He said, no. I said, no, and it wasn't built on Jesus either. He goes, what? I said, no. I said, read the whole scripture. And I quoted it to him, and I said, so why would you build it on a man? You got to build it on the revelation of the Word of God. Amen. He thought for a minute. He says, but wasn't Peter the first pope? I said, well, you know what? If Peter was the first pope, then all the rest of them are wrong. Because they wouldn't get married. I said, Peter was married, wasn't he? He goes, yeah, I never thought of that. He goes, man, you know your Bible. I said, well, I said, you know, I said, so if the Pope is in charge, who do you think he gets his information from? I said, don't you think I get my information from the same guy? The Lord? He looked at me and he goes, well, now he's getting on the hot seat. And then he's just starting to decide he better get this work done. Because he got me going. I said, hey. So he was asking several questions and I said, he goes, well, don't you believe that if a man gets born again and then he goes and gets committing fornication, adultery, that he's going to have eternal life? I said, nope. I said, according to my Bible in the New Testament, when they got the Holy Ghost, you can't find not one of those guys that committed adultery or fornication. Not in the Scripture. We know that fornication is there. We know that adultery is there. But the Holy Ghost will keep you from that. And I told him, I said, here's the problem. Most people just want religion. I said, we want what the Bible says. Yes. And I get to thinking, if God could define the moment for this man and let him realize, hey, just going to a Presbyterian church is not good enough. He said, you know, my mama got upset with me because I left the Catholic church and I went to the Presbyterian church. I said, you didn't go too far. I said, you still baptized the same way, right? He goes, yeah, I guess you're right. I said, you're wrong. I said, baptism is supposed to be in the name. Amen. Now, him being a banker, I said, how about if I write you a check? It says, pastor, husband, son. And I sign it that way. And I'm trying to give you $1,000. I said, you going to cash it? I said, isn't there a name behind that? I said, don't you know that my name is Michael Walls? He goes, yeah. I said, same thing. I said, so you guys are still baptizing like the Catholic Church, so you're not too far away. We've got to live holy in Christ Jesus all the time. Amen. And I just was sitting there and just having a good time talking with the guy. And then he decided it was enough. And he got my work done. And I thought, well, you know, it's a defining moment when people, they ask you a question. You need to know where you're standing. You need to know why you're believing what you're believing, young people. And sometimes situations in life become a defining moment. And here's Samuel. He's come along in verse 20. He says, and Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. He's trying to justify that I did it like you told me, but he did not. He said, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. He said, but the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, now listen, he's not buying this story. A lot of times you can get really close to telling the truth. And this is where I want you to be careful. You can get really close to telling almost all the truth, but you tell just a little bit of lie, it's not the truth. Samuel is Saul is arguing with Samuel. I've done all that the Lord said. But then Samuel's sitting there. He said, listen how he responds. He said, and Samuel said, verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Look, you can sacrifice a lot of things, but if you're not going to obey the word of God, it's not going to help you. Sacrificing is no good if there's no obedience to it going along with it. He said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken, to hear, to listen at what you're being told. He said, to hearken than the fat of rams. Now I want you to capture this next verse. For rebellion, listen, young people. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness. A stubborn spirit is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. When Saul listened to the people, you say, but he was the king, but he got pressured by the people. In the next verse, it'll say in verse 24, let's just read it. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. Now he's starting to reconcile. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Rather than obey the voice of God, rather than obey the voice of the prophet, he said, I feared and obeyed the voice of the people. Listen, young people, look at me for a minute. You can listen to all of your friends who don't have a lot of authority. They read a lot of things on YouTube or internet or Google or whatever, and they think they've got it all worked out. Let me tell you something. All that stuff's not all right information sometimes. And you think you're getting good counsel from your friends who are the same age as you, or maybe a year or two older, and you're going to listen to their counsel. I'm going to tell you something. They don't know what you need to hear. They need to hear you need to hear the word of God, because he listened to the voice of the people. And if you listen to the voice of your friends, it will bring a defining moment of, you'd rather listen to your friends who are the same age than your mom and your dad, who's trying to watch out for your life, who's trying to watch out for your soul, who's helping you to define what real characteristics of the Holy Ghost is. Amen. I'm not preaching to a bunch of sinners. I'm talking about children of God that are living in this building tonight. But all do not have the Holy Ghost. But all have been in the presence of the Holy Ghost at different times in the services, and have seen the power of God, have felt the emotions of God. But yet the emotion was not enough to hold you. You needed the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then it will keep you in the emotion and no emotion. Okay, I keep repeating that, but I'm trying to get you to understand. The defining moment is when you get the Holy Ghost, you start walking in a different light. You start living in a different way. And you don't have to wait till the next youth camp to feel the presence of God. You can meet him in every service that we come to if you really pull on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So it's not about just going to the camp. You got to have the Holy Ghost every time you come to church. Every time that you go to church somewhere else, you need to rightly divide the word of truth that's being preached to you. Is it thus saith the Lord? Is it rightly dividing the truth of God to my heart? You need to know that every day, without an emotion, you've got something that's anchored your life and sustaining you every single day. It changes how you act. It changes how you look. changes how you go, and all these different things. So now, the Lord, Samuel has already told Saul, you rejected God's word, and now God rejects you. Let me tell you something, friends. This man's the king. He was chosen not by Samuel. He was chosen by God. The Bible says that he raises up pharaohs and he takes pharaohs down. Pharaohs are nothing less than kings who are in the earth at the time. So God raised up a Samuel. He wasn't pleased with this. And now this man's telling the truth. Why he allowed this to happen is he feared the people. A little bit different from Joshua. Joshua told them, you don't make a sound. You do exactly what I tell you. That's the only way we'll get the victory. You know why? God was training those people to follow the man who had thus saith the Lord, and he was going to do it the right way. And they had confidence in following that man. But evidently Saul was getting a little bit, more powerful. He was a king, and maybe they came and started counseling him. If we just keep the good sheep and the lambs and things, all this, we can sacrifice it to the Lord and it'll be, we can save some of ours. That ain't what God said. He said all. When Joshua went into the battle at Jericho and the walls came down, everybody at that moment, listen just carefully here for a minute. This is not in my notes. But everybody at that moment, when they went into Jericho, they were under the inspiration of the leadership of God. And as they entered into Jericho, a spirit got on Achan because he began to look at the Babylonian garment. He began to look at the silver and the gold, and he began to covet it. And when he coveted it, the spirit of Babylon got on Achan. He just saw a miracle. They just took a whole city, and God lets the walls drop right in front of them. And this man, a spirit, let me tell you something. You get into where the world is, and if you're not careful, the spirit will jump on you. And Achan saw these things, and he desired them, the Bible said. When he desired them, the spirit got on him and he stole. It wasn't his to take. All the gold, all the silver was supposed to go into the Lord's treasury according to what Joshua said that the Lord told him. And it was a curse. Everything that was inside that city was a curse. Let me tell you something. The world is a curse to you. And when you try to obtain things of the world and you covet them, if you're not careful, it will take you further into sin than you want to go. And Achan went further into it than he meant to. And then the next battle they went to, they lost 36 men because one man got out of the will of God at that time. And what was that? He let the spirit of the world get a hold of him. And when it got a hold of him, he cost 36 men their lives and all the pain and agony that he caused to the families. You think you live to yourself? The Bible says no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. So things that you do is hurting everybody in your family, everybody in the church, everybody in the body of Christ. It's defining what you're doing when you go into sin and you let the sin take control of you. You're not just walking by yourself. You're not just living your own life. You're causing all of us to have grief in our heart. You may not understand. You may be having a defining moment that's causing a pressure to come in the church. It's causing a pressure to come in the family. And all these things are happening, and how that the devil, he's trying to define you that you're not really a believer. Let me tell you something. Without the Holy Ghost, and listen, everybody makes mistakes. Don't misunderstand me. With the Holy Ghost, you make mistakes, okay? But we have a propitiation by Jesus Christ. He bore that. He went to the cross. He bore the problems that we have. He went with the blood. They beat him and took the blood. And God sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ. But a real believer don't stay in that condition. They keep coming out of there. Why? They've been defined by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost causes them to repent. And the Holy Ghost keeps you repenting in your life all the time. Paul said, I die daily. It's not something you come to church on Wednesday or Sunday and then you're good the rest of the time. No, sir. Every day something has to be pushed off. Something has to be pushed away. Why? The devil's trying to define you that you're not a good believer. But my Lord says, I define you that you are a believer. I've got defining moments for you as well. I'll give you the power to overcome the things of the world. God can give you a defining moment sitting in the service. I thought Sunday morning was a beautiful service, and how that God spoke to so many of our hearts through the power of bitterness, and how that God could forgive us. Oh, it was a defining moment for some of us Sunday morning. How that God just began to wash us with the Word of God and let us know that He still loved us, even when we had a bitter spirit. Hallelujah. God knows how to watch over you, friends. So you come to church and let Him define you again with His anointing. Oh, yeah, the devil, listen, he's going to try to define how you live each day, but God wants to define how you live too. Here's this man, he's lied to the prophet. He's lied on God. Now he's in a bad position. And now the prophet of God tells him, God's rejected you. And when it wasn't that God just rejected him, he also received an evil spirit. Listen, when you get rejected by God, demons come to destroy you in your mind, in your spirit, in your soul if he can. He will destroy you. Why? Because God rejects your self-righteousness. That's what he did to Saul. He rejected that self-righteous spirit that we'll do it this way a little bit. God wants you to do it his way. If God says destroy it all, destroy it all. Amen. What is it that you need to get rid of? I can't stand here and give you a list of do's and don'ts. You have to understand what's causing you a problem, what's pulling you away from God. If it's causing you not to study, not to hear the word, not to pray, then that's a demon. Yes, sir. God didn't like what Saul did. I'll tell you something. When Achan went into Jericho, God saw what he did. Achan took the stuff and hid it in his tent. God saw where he hid it. When Joshua started pleading before the Lord said, I told you that if they took anything, and God knew exactly who it was. And they started with this family, brought it in, and they came down to Achan in his family. And then Achan had to confess. Because Joshua said, son, tell me what you did. The man was exposed right away. Listen, friends, God, listen, I may not see you. Joshua didn't see him, but God saw him. And God will cause the word to identify where your problem is. Where your sickness is, where your situation is. God will identify how it's going to take place. He will take care of you, friends. He will bless you and take care of you if you allow Him. And so here this man, he feared the people and he obeyed their voice. Now therefore he said, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. And the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. He didn't stop that very moment. He did not stop that very moment. He continued to be the king on for some time. But there's coming a fellow into the picture now. In Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 16, it says, and here the Lord speaks to Samuel and says, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul? Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel, fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. We know that he has a son named David. He goes into there and he starts calling them out, and he calls out the first seven, and the Lord says, I've not chosen them. I've rejected all of them. He says, and so Samuel's standing there and going, well, is this all your sons? And he goes, well, I got one more, but he's out in the field watching the sheep. He said, well, we're not going to sit down to eat or anything until you bring him in. We ain't going in a rapture until we find where you're at, you last little seed. We're trying to capture you. That's what this is all about. We're not here against you. We're trying to find you and bring you into the Word of God so that the rapture can go. Brother, God was patient. Samuel was patient. He wanted to see that last son. Oh, hallelujah. God's going to see that last son one day. When he gets the last son, he says, rapture time. Oh, brothers and sisters, young people, God's going to define who's going to be in this rapture, and they will take the rapture. And when David came, the Lord said to Samuel without hesitation, this is him. Anoint him. And immediately he anointed him. And David didn't jump up and say, hey, guys, I'm the king. David's probably going, what just happened? What is going on? All that David knows is this is different. David steps back up, goes back out, and starts watching the sheep again. Dripping with oil. He's got an oil running over him. The Spirit of God was upon him. He detected that something was changing about him and that he was going to stay with God no matter what. Let me tell you, when the Lord Jesus, when he pours his oil of the Holy Ghost upon you, you will change how you feel. You will change how you walk. You will change how you look. You will say, hallelujah, something's come over me. I can't be the same no more. But here's what David did. The Bible said he behaved himself wisely. Brothers and sisters, young people, you can behave yourself wisely with all of your friends, with all of your siblings, with all of your family. You can live godly in Christ Jesus because you've got an oil of anointing poured over you, and it's the Holy Ghost that sealed you out of that lifestyle that the devil's trying to define you in. Let the devil know, I've been defined by the Holy Ghost tonight. Let the Lord know that I love you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. He defines you that you're the bride of Jesus Christ. These demons hate it when you come. David didn't jump up and say, bless God, brothers, I am going to be king over you. No, sir. He went back out with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and it brought humility to David. And David walked out there with such a love and such a desire for serving God, and he went back and watched over the sheep. But when they went to battle, Saul was still the king. Last year, I believe it was, some of us was over in Israel, and we went. We were supposed to go to Mount Sinai, I believe it was, and we couldn't go that day, so they had to reroute us and take us some different places, and we went to the Valley of Elah. If I said it right, Brother Marcel can correct me or not. And it was the valley where David met Goliath. Hallelujah. And you know, the story goes that David had come down and he'd been playing the harp for Saul, and for whatever reason he went back home. And it's amazing to me how that when David comes down now and he's playing the harp for Saul, and he wonders whose son this is, and he tells him and all this. Then he goes back out into the wilderness and he's out there with the sheep and he's taking care of all the things, and a war breaks out. The big war breaks out with the Philistines. And so there they are, David's three oldest brothers. They're old enough to go fight in the war. But yet David's the king out in the field. The king's out there watching sheep. He's just living like he always lived. When you get the Holy Ghost, you just go on back to your job just like you always went back to your job. You just drive down the road just like you always drove down the road. But you got something now that's making you live a little bit different than when you used to do it. Just be who you are. Be who you are in God. He's out there and his father calls him. He says, go up and check on your older brothers and see how they're doing in the war. And David gets out to the war. And when he gets to the war, he don't see no fighting. And nobody got no blood on them. Nobody's wounded. David's going on, you know, and he's looking around and says, how's the battle going? Ah, we're just getting ready to take them over. Well, how come everybody's hiding behind the rocks? About that time, give me a man. Goliath walks out. Give me a man. David goes, what's that? That's what we're fighting against. And all they were doing was yelling at each other. He's hollering, give me a man. And they're hollering, we ain't found one yet. That's basically what they were saying back. And can you imagine they've been having this battle for 40 days and ain't nobody thrown the first spear? Nobody's had the first sword? And yet here's this guy walks out there, give me a man. He's out there, he's over 9 feet tall, remember? He's a really tall guy. He's taller than the ceiling is. I'd be scared of him too, you know. But there is Saul, he's head and shoulders above all of his men, and he's still like, you know, 6'6". This guy's over 9 foot tall, and he goes, guys, I'm a little older than I used to be. You know, maybe he's finding some kind of excuse. I don't know. But when this man comes out and starts saying, give me a man, and if I defeat him, you'll be our servants. And if he defeats me, we'll be your servants. He was lying. He was an Iraqi. Sorry. Sorry, Sister Shanice. He was a Philistine. I didn't think about that. That's one of those embarrassing moments in preaching. But here they are, they're yelling at each other. We're going to put tariffs over here and we're going to put tariffs over there. And, you know, we're yelling back and forth. You know, they're just like the blood's beginning to boil. And we'll take this ship over here and we'll take that ship over there. And here's David. David's down there and he's walking around behind the rocks. He said, guys, what are you doing back here? Go out there and fight him. They're going, are you crazy? Look how big he is. I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter how big the devil is. David's walking around. He goes, wait a minute, guys. He goes, I'll fight him. His brother goes, David, get back home and watch the sheep. You're causing problems out here. You're embarrassing me. You're my brother. Go home. You're a kid. Go home. David goes, but wait a minute. This is not right. This man's defying the army of the living God. The devil's trying to defy the army of the bride of Jesus Christ. And we're supposed to stand on thus saith the Lord in this day. There's a fivefold ministry, and you heard part of it on Sunday from another brother who was teaching. But God's got a fivefold ministry who's going to stand with thus saith the Lord, and she's going to be mighty in power and conquer the devil. David, finally, he talks so much that somebody goes and tells Saul. He says, Saul, there's a guy out here that says he can beat the giant. He goes, really? Bring him over here. He brings him over. And do you know, you would think that Saul would have recognized David for playing the harp and driving the evil spirits off, but somehow he doesn't recognize this guy. You know why? He's got an anointing. He's not the same little guy that he used to be. He still got the anointing to play the harp and sing because he read all the Psalms. But he had an anointing on him that he went out to fight the devils. And he began, and listen, a real Christian's got a testimony. David said, you know, I was out there watching my father's sheep and a bear came. When the bear came, I killed him. A bear. And then he says, you know, and Brother Branham says that God was training him. He said, so he sent a bigger, a stronger animal. This time he sends a lion. He said, this time the lion comes, he says, and I knocked him down. He said, and then when he got up, I grabbed him by the beard and I took my knife and I swiped his throat and I killed him. A lion. I'm going to stay on this side of the fence. I ain't going where that lion is. God didn't call me to watch them sheep out there. He told me to watch these sheep in here. I told him, brothers down in Florida, God didn't call me to Florida where all them alligators are. They come across the road, get in the pond. I'm like, no. They show up in your backyard. I said, no, I didn't lose nothing in Florida. Sorry, brother. God called me here to fight all these devils. Amen. Come here and fight all these Philistines. Yes. We don't want to just stand here and yell at the devil. We want to have something to back up our words. Yes. David says, wait a minute, Saul. I got something that I can take care of this guy with. And you know, David probably, he was probably back there going, David possibly spoke to Saul and said, you know, while they were hiding behind the rocks and said, don't you know who you're fighting for? Don't you know what you're fighting for? Don't you know you're fighting for the bride of Jesus Christ? Don't you know you're fighting for the rapture to take place? Don't you know who you are? And David's saying, Saul, don't you know who's in control? Saul knew that God had rejected him. That's why he was afraid. And because he was rejected, all the men could not go out there because the man who used to be called was now no longer called and he was hiding, and therefore everybody else was afraid to go out too. Once the Spirit got on them, this man was rejected, and they knew that there was something different about Saul, and Saul didn't have the power or the authority that he used to have to fight the devil, but God knew that he had a man that was anointed. And just so happened that God told his father, Jesse, send him out there and check out the battle. Brother, when he got out there, he says, we're not going to have war with words anymore. We're going to put faith in action. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, it's not about just talking about it. You can't just talk about believe the message. You got to become living the message of God. Brother David walks out there and he looks at that giant. And that giant said, looked at the people of God. He says, am I a dog? He must have really gotten mad. Stand up, Peter. I imagine David was a little skinny guy like him. No offense, bro. That's good. That little old skinny guy walks out there and Goliath gets so mad, he goes, my dog, they sent a kid to do a man's job? I'm going to tell you something, young people. You got the Holy Ghost. You got the power to whip the devil. God's calling you. God's defining you. You can do this battle. You've been chosen by God. And if God chooses you, you got to fear nothing of the devil. That devil will take a back seat to where you're at. You stand with authority in the Word of God and with wisdom. And behave yourself wisely and let God prove who you are. You can sit down, brother, brothers, probably, no problem. You want to praise the Lord, you can stand back up. I don't care. Here he comes along, and how that David was standing there. And before he went out there, you know, Saul wanted to give him his equipment. Now, just remember, Saul is a head and shoulders above all the other guys. And a little piece of history was that all the guys didn't have swords because they were poor people. That was just a little something I read on the side. I don't know if it's true or not. But that was something that was said. So Saul and his son Jonathan had swords, and they had the equipment. And so Saul decided, I'll just dress him up in this. Can you imagine that David's knees were buckled underneath that crazy armor? Can you believe that he was tied down with something of the world from a man who was afraid? He couldn't get out there from behind a man's armor that was a scaredy cat. He couldn't get out to me because of a man. He didn't want that guy's anointing on him. You see, but he's the king. He's a rejected king. Yeah, he's still king, but he's rejected. Are you a Christian or a rejected Christian? Let's just bring it where we are, friends. Everybody that sits in church is not always real Christians. They got religion. That ain't good enough. David says, I have not proved this. Excuse me. Can you imagine him talking to the king? I have not proved this. And David says, I'm going to go the way that the Lord has blessed me to kill the bear. and to kill the lion. And I can just imagine every now and then David still feels that oil of anointing that was dripping over his head. He can say, I know that I can't die because I've been anointed for the battle. Amen. Brothers and sisters, David knew that God was his armor bearer. He knew that God was his protection. He knew that he was anointed to walk and to do the job, or God would not have called him. But he knew that Samuel had anointed him, and that anointing could not be taken away from him. So therefore, he feared not. You don't have to fear tonight, young people. Don't fear the devil. If you've got the Holy Ghost, power of God in you, you can slay every demon. Hallelujah. Saul and all the men were looking at Goliath and how big he was. But David was standing back saying, oh, Goliath, you're not that big. My God's a lot bigger than you are. My God is great. Hallelujah. There he stands there, and David with the authority of the word. Hallelujah. You got to know that you got the authority with you. And with that authority of the word, David walked out there, picked up 5 smooth stones, put them in his pocket, and brother, he walked out there, and the devil said, I'm a dog. Now you done made the devil irritated. Sometimes you stir him up a little bit. Am I a dog? That guy could basically tell I was calling him a sinner yesterday. I was trying to be nice. But I had to let him know you're just covering up with religion. And that devil, that's all he wants you. Just cover up with religion. Just cover up with the message. Just cover up, I believe, the prophet. That's not good enough. The prophet of God said you got to have an individual affair. You got to have an individual blessing from God. You gotta have something that's going to keep you when there ain't nobody around. And can you imagine, here goes out David. Hallelujah. Here goes out David, realizing that the anointing has been poured over him. And all the army is where? Behind him. Hey, young people. Let God define that you're doing great. Don't go by your feelings. Go by the word of God. Amen. I told that man, I said, we are Bible believers. Amen. We say what the Bible says. It wouldn't have done me no good to just start quoting in quotes. I need to get him to the word. I need to get him to the Bible. Let him see that the Bible is living in us. We get him to Jesus. Jesus could get him to the message. This message, listen, there's nothing wrong. We can hand out the message and do all these things. If they're the seed, they'll respond to the message. If they're an eagle, they'll fly like an eagle. If they're a buzzard, they'll keep on eating the same old trash. I'm trying to close now. Here he comes along, and David stands there with the anointing, and all of Israel is behind him. And they're like, poor David. Poor guy. The guy's almost 10 feet tall, and David's 5'3". He's almost twice his height. David's just a young guy, kid. Goes out there, and the Bible said he was a nice-looking young man. Nothing wrong with being nice-looking. Don't let it go to your head. Don't let that define who you are. You let the character of the Word come into you, that will define what's really inside of you. The man, Brother Dan Daisley, many years ago, he was preaching. He said, he said, some of these girls and boys think they're so beautiful and so handsome. He said, just skin one of them one time. He said, they ain't so pretty. He said, it's only skin deep. That's pretty brutal, isn't it? But be careful that it's vanity if you worship your beauty. The devil wants to beautify you, that he can define you and let boys look upon you and do things they should not do in their mind. We don't want that happening here. We're not trying to make you old-fashioned, but yet you need an old-fashioned religion enough that would keep you from looking like the whores and the prostitutes that are walking on the streets with your low-cut dresses, your high heels, and your tight dresses. You don't need to dress like that. You need to dress like godly women, and God will give you a godly man, and you can show him everything you want then. But you need to live godly in Christ Jesus. David standing there, all of Israel wasn't behind him physically now. They're scared. But all of heaven was behind him. All of heaven was behind David. He didn't need an army. He said, God don't need swords. He don't need spears. He needs to show you devils how he can take you out. Hallelujah. It's one of my scriptures. Maybe I'll try to read it here in a minute. He said, and David comes along through there. Let me just see if I can find it real quick. Verse 47 in chapter 17 says, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saved not with swords and spears, for the battle is the Lord's. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. David didn't need no sword. He didn't need no spear. All he needed was the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe when that man was being run over by the tanks over in Israel, that God protected him from being killed when the tanks were rolling over top of him. Why? God knew what he was doing. Yeah. It's not about how many tanks. It's about the power of the holy God that we serve. Yeah. Brother David was standing there with all of heaven behind him because the Lord said, that's my boy. That's my girl. That's my child. That's my seed. The devil has pressured them into doing things they didn't want to do. Let me tell you something. The devil causes you to live in things that you don't want to do sometimes. Tragic issues can bring a defining moment in your life. Sickness can bring a defining moment in your life. But the Holy Ghost can bring a defining moment in your life as well. Amen. This man of God standing there. How that God's moving around. And because nobody was backing David up, he never looked back. When Elisha was plowing with those 12 yoke of oxen, he never looked back. He kept going straight forward because he knew he had to train some people himself. And he said, straight as a gate, narrow as the way that leadeth unto life. Listen, friends, this is a narrow way. David was on the narrow way. He wasn't looking back to see who's going to back him up. They're all hiding behind the rocks. He couldn't even see them. He goes out there and the devil is yelling at him and saying, I'm a dog to you people, and you send this kid out here. I'm going to feed your flesh to the carcass to the birds. And man, he got red hot. There he goes. He goes, let me tell you something. He said, you come with me with swords and spears. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Amen. He didn't have no sword. He didn't have no spear, but he had the word of God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the word of God is more powerful than any two-edged sword and sharper and can divide asunder the marrow and the bone. And the power of God was behind David in the stone. Amen. When David let go of the stone, it found its mark right between his eyes and knocked him dead. One shot. That's all God needs. Just give him one shot, friend, that he can use you, and that will be a blessing in your life. That's all you need. One shot. Hallelujah. I'm trying to close, but you're causing me. Listen, he gave David one shot. That's all he needed because God was guiding the stone. Let me tell you something. You don't need to think about what you're going to say sometimes because he said, if you'll stand for me, I'll give you the words to speak. The devils will have to back up because he can give you an anointing to say, thus saith the Lord, you can be healed in your body even this moment. If the power of God wants to do that, he'll say, you're healed right now. Can you receive it tonight, friends? Can you receive that God has come to define you as believers, young people? Would you stand with me tonight? Let God have one shot. Let God take one shot with you and cause you to be holy. Cause you to be righteous, that he can define that you are his children. And the devil will understand that he's lost the battle. Brother Branham makes one more comment, if you mind, while they're coming, the musicians are coming. He said, you know, I was preaching not long ago, and the tape recorder's here. He said, the boys were with me, and they took a sermon called The Hidden Life of Christ. He said, how to get into Christ and how that some people has ups and downs. I thought, Lord God, we might fit that sometimes. He said, people have ups and downs. They can't. He said, it's a place you have to find. The outer courts produce manna. Sure. Many people are living right in that manna. All those people that was walking with Moses was eating manna from heaven. But they weren't eating the word that Moses was giving. He said, many of the people are living right in that manna. He said, they eat in that manna, but they don't live that right kind of life. They're up and down. They have in and outs and bad days and good days. But you've met people that absolutely no matter what the weather was or what condition was, they're on the housetop all the time. He's found that secret. He's found an atmosphere to live in. I'm telling you that the baptism of the Holy Ghost can bring your excuses, your attitudes, your anxieties, your frustrations, even sitting in the traffic. He can give you peace of mind. You know, if we would take our message sometime and put it on play, maybe God would speak to you. Maybe it takes some of the frustration out of your day. Push play. Get a good gospel song. Sing along. Joy in the morning. Devil, get out. There's a warning. You can show the devil that I live for Jesus Christ in your car sitting in the traffic jam. I'm still trying to bring that devil in submission. I'm winning better all the time. Hallelujah. You can't get around it. You can't get over it. You might as well just sit there and say, Lord, what's it for? He sent us here for a reason to live in this traffic jam of a mess. And I'll tell you what. One day we're going to be sitting there maybe and just go right on out of here. I ain't worried about the devil no more. Young people, what's defining you? What's been your pressure? Just bow your heads a minute. Play soft, brother. Play He Became Me, that I might become Him. Maybe something, even our brothers and sisters, older moms and dads, maybe the devil has pressured you. Remember, Brother Branham said that Rahab was forced into that lifestyle. And sometimes things of life causes us to be forced into situations. But there's a God of heaven who will forgive you. Sure, you made a mistake, but He'll forgive you. There's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's not looking at the money you have or the home you live in. Young people, some of you don't even have money, but you have something you can offer God. You can offer Him a life of love, respect, not rebellion. God can define you tonight by causing you to change your thinking when the enemy's trying to cause you to miss God altogether. The devil's trapped some of us along the way, but yet there's grace. Father, as I come to a close, I think about Sunday service and how that you begin to root out bitterness, evil thinking, hurtful thoughts, that you might define us. You brought us to a defining moment on Sunday, many of us, to say we take the challenge to live godly in Christ Jesus. O Lamb of God, be merciful. Let them see Jesus in our young people. I've heard different brothers and sisters comment, ministers, you've got a wonderful group of young people. They represent you well when they go other places. Oh, Lord, my heart just swells with joy and compassion. Lord, that you would speak to them again. Lord, we appreciate them going to the youth camps and different places. I just pray that, oh God, that you would help them to realize it's more than just a youth camp. It's more than just a revival. It's a life lived daily. Lord, would you define them to understand that this Bible was given to give us a roadmap to glory. We're given a prophet that was given to teach us the ways of God. Lord, to guide us on this path of the end time. We thank you for a prophet of God who stood and wouldn't waver on the word, but yet would live it out. Father, we thank you for these young people that's hearing, receiving. Maybe they'll just take the words that they've heard tonight and run it through their mind again and hear your voice speaking to their hearts. That I love you. Just give me one shot like I did David to the giant. And he'll take the giant out of your life that's causing you the problem. And he'll give you the victory that you can go forward and you can live godly in Christ Jesus. Lamb of God, would you do that for them tonight, I pray. Lord, as they meditate on these words, there's something in their heart, Lord. They want to come to the altar. They want to be prayed for. We'll be glad to do it, Lord. We know that you can redeem them from the things of the life that they're in. Some have slipped here or slipped there, but Lord, they can get back in line. As we see the prophet saying, would you bless them, I ask, in Jesus' name. If you need him, just let him come. He became me that I might become him by grace. Oh, he became me that I might become him by grace. Took my place that I through his love could take his. Oh, he became me that I might become him by grace. Last time. Oh, he became me that I might become him by grace. Oh, he became me that I might become him by grace. For he took my place that I through his love could take his. Oh, he became come him by grace. Amen. The Lord bless you this evening. Let him become you. When you're in that dark trial, that dark valley, when it seems nobody cares, he cares. He's the light that's going to shine, and he'll be with you. The Lord bless you. If there's any of our mothers that did not receive their little Mother's Day gift on Sunday, that we passed out. If you would see one of the deacons, we had a little token to give some of the mothers. And hopefully the expectant mothers got some too, if there was any expectant mothers. Amen. I believe tonight is Sister Kokoi's and Brother Kosi's last service. Is it tonight? You coming Sunday? One more Sunday with us. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless them. Amen. Be sure and shake hands with Sister Kokoi and Sister and Brother Kosi, that God will be with them. And say, move to California. God knows all things. Amen. My wife and I are leaving tomorrow evening. We'll be gone for about 10 days, celebrating 40 years of marriage. We just want you to pray for us. Amen. 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 I told somebody today, I said, she deserves it after putting up 40 years with me, to give her a break. Amen. But she's been the best wife a man could get from the Lord. And if you want a good example, look at my wife. We don't always agree on everything, but she respects me. Amen. You brothers want respect from your wife. Live godly in Christ Jesus. She knows my downfalls and my weaknesses, and she forgives me for them, just like the Lord does. And through that, respect comes. You want a good marriage, you treat her so good that she will respect you that way. That's the best thing I can tell you. Treat her good, you'll get the respect you need. You don't have to force the issue. God is good. May the Lord bless you. Amen. Brother Michael, if you'd come, this Michael. Amen. We got the Michaels covering all the song services. Amen. That one song you started the service with, I can't remember the one it was. How great is our God? How great is your God tonight? Is He wonderful? Amen. Be sure and shake hands with our visitors. Make them feel welcome. God bless you. Pray for us, Brother Michael, if you come.
How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? Oh, we'll see how great is our God.
Let me say one more thing. Let me say one more thing. On Sunday, after the service, Brother Michael, Sister Melissa, we're having a wedding shower after the service on Sunday. Don't forget to bring your food and a good attitude and bless them with showers of blessings. Amen. Now go ahead.
The name above.